Sometimes I'm stirred to preach, and I have to check myself to be sure that what it is I'm about to preach is not just the stirrings of my flesh. Nor do I ever want to preach merely to circumstances. And may I add that I am not sure whether these circumstances about which I am going to preach today exist or not. I really don't. Thirdly, I don't like to preach reactionarily. And again, I do not know whether this is reactionary preaching or not. I prefer to preach preventively, but you know, sinners, you can preach preventively till they're blue and till you're blue in the face, but they'll never get it. What they heard last Sunday, they won't remember next Sunday. And oftentimes, whether we like it or not, we have to preach reactionarily. This may or may not be preaching to circumstances or preaching to reactions. But there is a providential hint in our community that this is a topic about which I should preach. And I've weighed it and judged it best I can. And this morning I was really stirred in the Spirit, not only by thinking, but also by text. And that's the ground upon which I always labor to preach, upon text. And I'm sure you're all wondering what this topic is and worrying if it applies to you or not. And I can tell you, I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea whatsoever whether or not it applies to you. But may I say to these good men who were here, if I have no idea whether or not it applies to you, how could I purposefully offend any one of you? Donna, good to see you this morning. Bless you. How could I purposefully will to offend any one of you personally if I don't know if it applies to you? So let not that charge be laid to me. And the person in here wondering most about this sermon is this lady right down here, and I'll get it out in just a moment, dear. I want to preach to you today about designating your tithe. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to tell you, don't do it. In fact, I'm going to chide you sharply if you are doing it, and warn you with equal sharpness if you are thinking about designating your tithe. Now, here's why Jeff should be consulted. And I do say that with a smile. Jeff has mentioned to me a couple times how there are six or seven families that want to support our Chang's Discipleship Training Center. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. In fact, I think if you are able and God leads you, you ought to write a check today for the entire support of that group next year. If God enables you and so leads, write a check for the whole thing. You can support those 10 students for the entire year for $6,000. And if you have that money, you ought to think seriously about doing that. But you shouldn't use your tithe to do it. Let me reiterate, for the sake of those of you who suspect me of wrongdoing or being purposefully personal towards you in this, I don't know who gives what. Don't want to know. Don't ask. nor do I know if this situation applies. But this sermon is either reactionary to something that already is, or it's preventive of something that might be. So however it applies to you, take it. As reactionary, so be it. As preventive, so be it. Now, let me ask you two or three questions before I read the text. When is a blessing a burden? Well, here we have this marvelous providence of God in Cambodia. Isn't it amazing? My goodness, what God has given us. And on top of that, providence and blessing upon providence and blessing, we have not only two churches, but also a potential discipleship training center. And if you're thinking about giving your designated tithe to that, who do you think you are? Do you think this church was established by designated tithes? Do you think that the churches in Cambodia were established because Mike Doyle designated his tithe to Prek Ambel or Grady Cook to Shrey Trang? Who do you think you are? As if Cambodia needs you. And especially your tithe. By the way, what if everybody designated their tithe? Dr. Bachmeyer, would you please give to the electricity? And Mr. Deanna, to the lawnmower and gas? And Jansen, because you're more spiritual, designate your tithe to the pastor's salary. Or, because Lou, you're more spiritual yet, designate your tithe to an orphanage somewhere. And how wise do you think you are to know what is spiritual and what is not spiritual? It seems that on the surface of things, a superficial observation would be that my tithe needs to go towards what's more spiritual. As if electricity here were somehow less spiritual than electricity, yay, than confessions of faith in Cambodia. Who do you think you are to make such a judgment? Isn't it a superficial knee-jerk idea to think that the have-nots merit over the haves? Who said that in the Bible? No one. In fact, Jesus said contrary to that. That to him who has, it shall be given. And to him who has not, it shall be taken away. Why don't you apply that to your giving? To your designated tithe. If you're doing it, stop. If you're thinking about it, don't. When is a blessing a curse? At such a moment as this, when God showers our church with missionary blessings, and somewhat in spiritual top pride is tempted to rise up and say, oh, let me do this. I hope I'm not preaching reactionarily. What is a designated tithe? Why, it's your wisdom, your will, determining where God's tithe goes. What if everyone did that? Do you think this church was built that way? Our missions in Cambodia? Nay. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus articulates the right hand, left hand principle. And he says, be careful. Watch out. That you don't do your righteousness, your good deeds, your righteous deeds before men that they may see them. And some of you say, oh, this doesn't apply to me because even if I designate my tithe, I'd never do it before men so that they would see me. You sure? Wouldn't you really like someone to know? Especially the recipient of your tithe. Be careful. Besides, wouldn't you really like to know that your tithe had been given so spiritually, so exactly, so precisely, so righteously? Watch out, Jesus says, that you don't do righteous acts before men that they may see. But if you do, you have your reward. Congratulations. Watch out that you do not do your righteous deeds before men to be seen of them. If you do, you don't have your reward from your Father which is in heaven, but you have a reward. When therefore you do your deeds of mercy. Now, for those of you who study Greek, and particularly for those of you who tend towards Sabbatarian who may be listening to this tape, let me tell you that the most thorough foundational definition of a deed of mercy is giving of money. You can look it up in lexicons. It's giving of money. Blessed are the merciful. The historicity of that term is the giving of money. And let me make a point here right now. I'm jumping to something that I'll address later in the sermon. One of the premises upon which people designate their tithe is that tithing is Old Testament, not New Testament. And so I can do with it what I will. Well, first of all, the Old Testament prototype of giving to the poor is not tithing. Study your Bible. Study Genesis to Malachi. Giving to the poor has to do with two things, neither of which is tithing. One is gleanings, which are beyond the tithe. And two is offerings, which is beyond the tithe. And the designated tither loves to confuse the difference between tithing and offering and is implicitly an act of stinginess, because if he really was a liberal, cheerful giver, not only would he dutifully tithe, but he would cheerfully give in offerings and in gleanings. That is, if he wants to be reciprocal to the teaching and prototype of the Old Testament. And another thing, every time I preach on tithing, I feel I have to say this because there's such rampant ignorance in the church, not ours particularly, but broadly considered about tithing. So let me take about 2 minutes here and talk to you about the order of Melchizedek. The anti-tither who wants you to think that he's super spiritual, tithing's Old Testament. And they'll always add to that, besides, you got to give more than the tithe. And I always want to ask, well, do you? The argument is that tithing is of the Old Testament, of the law. And that is true. That tithing is of the law. Leviticus 23 and 23, part of the Levitical law. In Mark Twain's words, the way old Leviticus wrote it himself. All the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Yes, tithing is of the law. But so is capital punishment of the law. You've heard me make this argument before. But both tithing and capital punishment pre-exist the law. Capital punishment is established in Genesis 6. And rather than being inaugurated in the law of Moses, it is A, recognized, and B, perpetuated in the law of Moses. Do you believe that? Well, sure. Well, do you believe this? That tithing predates the law of Moses as capital punishment predates the law of Moses, and like capital punishment, tithing is inaugurated before the law of Moses and perpetuated in the law recognizing the valid principle of tithing. When was tithing originated? Answer, in the priesthood of Melchizedek. When Abraham returned from the slaughter of kings, Melchizedek met him, king of Salem, king of priests, without father, without mother, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God a priest continually. And Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek, a tenth of all. And the beauty and power of the writer of Hebrews is that not only did Abraham pay tithes unto Melchizedek, but that in a way all Israel paid tithes because they were paying vicariously through the loins of Abraham, including Levi and Aaron, to teach us in Hebrews that the Levitical and Aaronic order is subject to the order of Melchizedek. And to teach us that the doctrine of the priesthood does not begin with Levi, but it is anticipated by Melchizedek. And if you read carefully in Hebrews 7, the writer makes the case that the tithe that belongs to Melchizedek is still in force, which Jesus asserted in Matthew 23:23. Now, if that's too complex for some of you, well, just get the tape and replay it. And then look in Hebrews. I'll tell you another thing. We don't charge a penny for our tape ministry. And our tape ministry hasn't been paid for by designated tithes. It's a New Testament doctrine asserted and affirmed by the Epistle to the Hebrews as it contemplates the order of Melchizedek and recognized by Jesus Christ in Matthew 23:23. So it's not merely Old Testament. It predates it and postdates it. And you can look at all the commentators you want on both Old and New Testament texts, and you'll see that the preponderance of opinion among evangelicals, including the Reformers, is that the tithe is a valid New Testament duty. But when someone wants to designate their tithe, that is, determine for themselves how it is to be used, here's where the risk of sin comes in. Listen. A designated tithe violates the principle of storehouse tithing. Now, do you think that's a cliche, or do you think that has biblical force? Designated tithing violates the principle of storehouse tithing. Let me ask you a question. What is the pattern of tithing in the Old Testament? Did Simeon come to the tabernacle and tell Levi, look, take this buck and give it to Benjamin? He really needs it. He's out there on the periphery of the camp. And I hear not as many quail are falling out there as are here. And take this five and give it to Ephraim or maybe to Manasseh. They're always troublesome boys. No. You'll find no principle of the tithe in the Old Testament other than the principle of storehouse tithing. And if you look up the Hebrew of the term storehouse, you will see that it means the treasury of the tabernacle and the temple. All the tithe, prototypically, typologically, all the tithe in the Old Testament is to be brought to the storehouse. And I believe that that principle is perpetuated in the new. But you better hold on. This sermon has been soft up till now. Designated tithing violates the principle of storehouse tithing, which is the pattern and practice of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. And do you realize that faithful and full, two different things, faithful and full tithing was the last spiritual duty of which God reminded His people in the Old Testament? You realize that tithing is the last moral and liturgical duty God commanded His people and for which He rebuked them in the Old Testament? God's last spiritual, moral, liturgical command to Israel. Bring ye... Well, designate 6% to your church, and everybody will think that's your 10%, or at least the treasurer will. He won't know the difference. And then take your 4% and do with it as you will. Nobody will ever know. Besides, when you give that extra 1% to make 7% go in the church, the treasurer will think, wow, he's really spiritual. No. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And shall I hide behind the pulpit to say this? Shall I cower? Shall I shudder to say that he who did not bring all the tithe into the storehouse, God called a thief? Will a man rob God? You say, nay. Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and in offerings. You get the second part of that? In tithes and in offerings you have robbed me, saith the Lord of hosts. The designated tithe violates the pattern of the Old Testament, and it ignores the last spiritual, moral, and liturgical command of God in the Old Testament. Also, the giving of alms in Matthew 6 is the giving of monies to the treasury. And you realize that the only places, get this, if you like to designate your tithe, if you're thinking about it, get this. Do you realize that the only places in the New Testament where a designated tithe is in view are two? One creates havoc in the church, Acts chapter 6, and the other God chastens so severely that He slays. Those are your prototypes for doing what you want to do with your money. I'm sorry the sermon's been soft. Let me see if I can do better. A second sin of designated tithing, listen. It essentially diminishes and even minimizes the communal nature of the church of God. And it asserts the prominence of the individual and the individual's money over the prominence of the ecclesiastical community, the church. And the designated tithe denigrates the collective wisdom of the church and says, I know better. So not only does it violate the storehouse principle, it says, I know better than the church how my tithe should be used. Listen. A designated tithe secretizes the tithe and provides a dangerous opportunity for the designated tither to rationalize about where his tithe belongs. That falsifies spiritual judgment. That says, I know what's better, not the church. That says, I have spiritual judgment about God's money better than the collective wisdom of the church. Listen carefully. The designated tithe most probably and most always is a subtle strategy of someone who is a willy-nilly tither, who tithes as he will, when he will, how much he will. In other words, because I control my tithe and give X amount to the church, nobody will know when I give what and don't give what. It's a subtle opportunity to lie to the church of God and to rob God. Be careful. The designated tithe. Listen. It tends to violate the right hand, left hand principle. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I don't know what kind of care you exercise in the doing of your alms, but you ought to exercise maximum care in the doing of your alms, in the giving of your monies. You ought to exercise maximum care. And you know what? You need to be careful what you say about it. After today, don't say nothing to me about it. Okay? Designated tithing often violates the right-hand, left-hand principle. Now, what if somebody knows? What if your left hand knows what you're giving? You tell your friends what you're giving? Or, worse, do the recipients of your designated tithe know that it comes from you? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. To violate the left-hand, right-hand principle is the sounding of a trumpet before you. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Those who like to do their alms before men sound the trumpet before them. Why, the air of that brass is pride. And how despicable that is to us that someone would blow and blare the brass of their silver and gold. And if it is despicable to us, how despicable think ye it is to God Almighty. Don't sound the trumpet when you give. Not even when you designate your tithe. It publicizes self. It engenders pride, the wind of the devil's wing. And here is a hideous danger. And here's why I'm really cautious about any of you designating anything to these Cambodian students. And Brother Howe, you're overreacting to this. Well, Satan is smarter than you are, and your sin is greater than you are. And let me tell you why you need to be careful about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let's say we post these 10 students' pictures on the wall, and you say, I want to support whomever. Oh, I want to support the Buddhist monk. Then my designated tithe will be the most spiritual of all. Besides, Chang thinks he has the greatest promise. Therefore, I can take my designated tithe and change Cambodia full of Christ and the church. When you designate tithe to an individual, A, designating tithe is wrong. B, designating tithe is tenfold wrong to an individual. When you do that, you realize that you're creating and practicing spiritual usury. Now, you've never heard that phrase before, but you better learn it, listen to it, and observe the dangers associated with it. I don't want you sending specific money to a specific Cambodian student, especially if they're going to know it's coming from you, because I don't want that student to have any sense of debt to you, nor any sense of dependence upon you, nor any sense of obligation to you. And I don't want you to rob the church of God of the glory due it. When I was a young preacher, I stood up in the presence of a large association and defied them. And Reagan, it cost me my entire salary. Called my dad, he said, well, son, the kingdom of God is not eat, drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I got a telephone call from a precious man, a precious deacon. He was like you, a little big man with a big heart. He said, I want to have dinner with you and your wife. And he came to our house, and at the end of supper, Jenna, this is about 1975, 76 it was, he handed me a check across the table for $500. And in 1976, $500 would buy you a Honda. And I'll never forget that. Man, it touched my heart. Man, it made me love that man. I've never forgot it. God bless him for it. But you know what? As his pastor, which I never was, as his pastor, I'd say, brother, don't do it. Well, sweet, kind, gracious, loving as your motives are, don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to maximize the spiritual power of your giving, give God the glory, give Christ the glory in the church of God. Unto Him be glory in the church. If there's the slightest risk that any glory would go to you in a gift, don't do it. If there's the slightest risk that pride will ride in your soul, pride about what you've done, about pride about the wisdom of your discernment, pride, if there's the slightest risk, don't do it. Don't do it. If there's the slightest risk, you'll violate the right hand, left hand principle, don't do it. If there's the slightest risk, you'll create spiritual usury. Don't do it. Now, that man never tried to leverage me, but are you so foolish to think that in these big mega churches, the guys with the big bucks don't have the power over the preacher? Are you fool enough to think that's not true? That's the way all the Christian schools operate. And I assure you, it's the way some churches operate. Be careful. Money, you know, they say 60 to 70% of our paper money in the United States is stained with cocaine residue. Have you heard that? Probably true. Well, I'll tell you something. 100% of it is stained with the devil's danger. And when you would sanctify, when you would cleanse, when you would launder your money for the honor and glory of God, you should strive to do it as white, if I may use the pun, as white as snow. Designated tithe. I have the most serious reservations. Now, try to think of practical reasons how we could prevent it in our church. And here's what I came up with, Grady. When you decide to rob God of what is rightfully His and the church of the glory that should be in it, and designate your tithe and thereby individualize it and secretize it and put yourself at risk for pride, and you decide to do that, would you please, Grady's the only one who will see it in Mark, they don't ever talk about the treasury, just please put on your check, quote, designated tithe. That'll free up your conscience. And then Grady, whatever they designated to, like Cambodian ministry, just subtract that amount from what we have assigned to Chain. If we've got $5,000 assigned to Chain, and then they put designate, honestly, you know, they're not lying, they're going to tell the truth, designated tithe, not offering, the Chain, $1,000. Well, just subtract it from the budget. That way we'll redeem their tithe for them. That's one practical measure I thought of, but no, we're not going to do that. But I hope it burns your conscience up. If you're thus using your tithe, you ought to put every red cent of your tithe into this church. Amen. Let's stand together. Now, I hope you remember all my prefatory remarks. I have no idea if this sermon does or does not apply. I have no idea. I have no idea if it's reactionary or preventive. I have no idea. But I do know, for all to bear witness and see, that the men of the church in unanimity were here and said, "Preach on, brother." And thus I have. And may the Lord bless it as it is true to the hearts who need it. And let me say this. I love every one of you, but I love this church more. May we bow our heads?